And I want to invite everyone next Wednesday night to our home right across the street, 254 Chestnut Street. Everyone's invited on Purim for l'chaims, for singing. So figure 9 o'clock would be a good time because we read Megillah around 6:30, a little bit to breakfast. So from 9 and on, everyone's invited to come and to l'sameach, to enjoy Simchas Purim, the celebration of Purim. There are more seats here. Moshe, yesh makom kan, shal lashevet. So we're learning very appropriately in the holy book of the Tanya, chapter 27. Question? Everyone's invited, yeah.
Kids,
sure.
Exactly too, right?
Yeah, Wednesday night at my
exactly.
home. Yeah, of course, everyone. Everyone's invited. Yoel's going to come, right? Yoel's going to be the star of the show. So we're on page 116 in the Tanya, or 115 in the English. And the Tanya from chapter 26 to roughly 33, very appropriately, the Tanya focuses on joy, on optimism. Because as we learned last week, in our lives, we face a constant struggle. A struggle between the angel and the demon. The struggle between the body, which is an animal, has desires, urges, it wants to be lazy, it enjoys getting angry, it's self-centered, it's pleasure-centered, whereas the soul, which is devoted to God, to selflessness, to holiness, to transcendence, to morality, there's a struggle. And in a struggle, you need to have energy. If a person doesn't have energy, then he lost. Even before he started, he lost. He can be strong, he can have muscles, he can be tall, he can be heavy. But if he doesn't have any energy, he lost. If he doesn't have passion, if he doesn't have movement, he's going to lose to the person who's more nimble and more energetic and more passionate. And so if we have a war between our souls and our bodies, we have to make sure that our soul is happy. So we have to be happy about our own religious standing. The way to be a successful person in the religious sense is to always be happy, to always be upbeat, and not to let ourselves get down. So we learned last week, well, sometimes we have sins. So the Tanya said, well, usually we're not supposed to think about our sins. Think about the sin on Erev Rosh Chodesh, the eve of the new month. Think about the sin when it's time to repent on the day before Yom Kippur. But generally, we shouldn't think about our sins. We should focus about the fact that God loves us, that God will accept us back right away, that we're confident that He loves us. Let's think about King David. King David committed great sins, and right afterwards he tells God, Ruach Nediva Sismacheni, support me with the spirit of your gift, support me with divine inspiration. I want to be a prophet again. A prophet? From a sinner to a prophet? But yeah, God wants to be prophets right away. God will take us back in a moment. So we have to have great optimism. And when we're optimistic and we're energetic, then we have the power to overcome sin. So that was chapter 26. Chapter 27, let's begin now, chapter 27. Ve'im ha'atzvus eina midagas avonos. What happens when the depression, the sadness, is not from the worry about sin, ela mehir hurim ra'im, but rather it's coming from all sorts of negative thoughts. Ve'tavos ra'os, and bad urges, shenoflos b'machshavta, that fall into a person's thoughts. In our tradition, not only did God call on us to fulfill many, many directives, many mitzvot, and the word mitzvah is not just a command, but it's the word savta, to be together in Aramaic. Savta is to be together. The mitzvot are many opportunities to be together with God. when we put on tefillin in the morning, we connect to God through that act of putting on the tefillin. We're sitting here, we're studying Torah, we connect to God through the study of Torah. But not only did God give us many commandments, God even gave us some commandments that are very, very difficult. One of the things that God told us was v'nishmartem mikol davar ra. Stay away from anything bad. What's the definition of anything bad? Lowliness. As an example, if a person happens to be in the zoo, there's actually a command, this command, that if I happen to be standing next to the monkeys or next to the dogs, there's a male dog and a female dog in the pen, and they are mating, I'm not supposed to stare at that. I'm not supposed to closely gaze and dwell on an act of intercourse, even if it's animal intercourse. Because if I look too closely and I dwell into it and delve into it and think about it and go back to think about it and think about it some more, it lowers us. It makes us more base, more animalistic. And our obligation is to be elevated people, not to be lowly, not to be animalistic. We have to be elevated individuals, godly individuals, watching ourselves from anything lowly. Now that's something very hard, certainly for us in our generation. It's virtually impossible. If we go down to the city to work, all the billboards, if we open up a newspaper or just have a smartphone, some of the pop-up ads, just the emails that we get, the spam that we get, these things come, you know, whether a person likes it or not, they just hit him. So a person could be in the middle of something, and suddenly he starts thinking about an email that he got, or a billboard that he saw, or a magazine cover that he walked by. And then he gets upset. He said, you know, that lowered me. That lowered me. I started thinking about these things, and I was lowered. And he starts to feel depressed about it. So now what's he going to do about that? What should he do? The Tanya's theme here is, we should never be depressed. We shouldn't get down over the fact that we have things hitting us, bad thoughts. But why not? So he says the following. Hine imnoflo slo shelo b'shas avoda. Let's say I'm not trying to serve God right now. I'm working. Beit Askobas Saka V'derech Eretz. I'm in the business and in a store. Ukai Gavna. Suddenly I start thinking about the wrong things. Don't be upset. Adarabah, the opposite. Yeshlo L'smoach B'chelko. He should be so happy with his portion. Sha'av Shenoflo Slo B'machshavto. Even though lowly thoughts are falling into my brain, he's distracting himself from these thoughts. And in this way, fulfilling the verse, do not stray after your heart and after your eyes, that you are straying after them. The verse isn't referring to tzaddikim l'karam zonim, because the tzaddikim never stray. Chas v'shalom. El bebeinonim. It's referring to people in the middle. Kayotze bo, like me. Shenofum lo yiruniyuf machshavto. Sometimes we start thinking about the man-woman relationship. Bein beheter, bein beisser, whether it's permitted forms or prohibited forms. U'kishem esiach dato. And when I distract myself, Mekayim lav zeh. One is fulfilling this directive of God. In the Kriyat Shema, we read twice a day. It should be a sign between your eyes. It should be a sign on your arm. You should look at the strings of the tzitzit. V'lo taturu acharei levavchem v'acharei enichem. And do not stray to follow your hearts and to follow your eyes. The Tanya here is teaching us something amazing. There's nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong, with the thought hitting a person. Because that's not in a person's control. It's not in a person's control. We have to go to work, and we have to walk in the streets of the city to work, and there are signs in the city. So that thoughts are going to hit a person, it's It's out of a person's control. And therefore, it's not wrong that a thought hits a person. It's not a sin. It's nothing to feel bad about. On the contrary, we should be happy that a thought hits us. Because when the thought hits us, we have the chance to actively distract our mind from that thought. We're pulled somewhere, the thought started, and I can pull myself away and stop thinking about it. And when I stop thinking about it, I'm literally fulfilling the mandate. Do not stray after the thought. The verse doesn't say don't have a thought. The thought's going to hit us. There's nothing wrong with having a thought. What would be wrong would be, oh, I had a thought, now I'm going to think about it, I'm going to talk about it, I'm going to dwell on it, I'm going to immerse myself in it. That's the problem. But if I had a thought and then I pull myself away, that's amazing. That's an amazing mitzvah. And it's not just a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah that gives a person tremendous reward because it's hard. It's hard to pull my thoughts away. So if I do pull my thoughts away, it's a tremendous achievement which earns for a person a great, great amount of good. Amru Razal, our sages taught, Yashav v'lo avar aveira. If a person sits and he doesn't commit a sin, notnim lo sachar, he gets reward, kilu asa mitzvah, as if he got up and did a precept, as if he got up and fulfilled a positive command. Now what does that mean? So if I'm sleeping all day, I have the reward of all the commandments because I was sleeping all day? That's not what it means. What it means is if I earn... We have another seat here. Please come. Please come join us. There's a seat right over here. Please come. Thank you. What the idea of the... Steve, there's a seat here if you want. And there's also here. Plenty of seats. If a person has... If a person's sleeping all day, so he never sins, he's going to get all the rewards imaginable. That doesn't make sense. He didn't do anything. What does it mean if he was drawn to the wrong thing and he didn't follow where he was drawn? In other words, he had a thought and then he was pulled there and he stopped and he pulled away in a different direction. That's as good as actively getting up and fulfilling a good deed. Valkain, and therefore, says the Tanya, Tzarech l'smoach, we should be so happy. The Kiyom Alav, when we get to fulfill this directive of pulling our minds away from lowliness. K'mo b'kiyom mitzvah sasei mamish, it's as good as actively doing a mitzvah. The Adarabba, and another argument. Why not to be depressed when I have an evil thought hit me? We're on page 118 and 117. On the contrary, Ha'atzvah, such sadness, himigasas haruach, is a display of arrogance. Sheino makir makomo. I think that I should be someone who doesn't have a thought. What am I, an angel? I'm a human being. Human beings have thoughts. So I should be arrogant? Falkein, yero levavo, al sheino b'majeg a tzaddik. What, I'm not a tzaddik, I'm upset. Shal tzaddikim b'vadei nofum lehemihur ishtus ke'elu, because the tzaddikim, they never have such silly thoughts. If I would be honest about who I am, then I'm very far from the level of being a tzaddik. I wish I'd be in the middle, below Rasha Kol Yamav, and just not to be a sinner. Even for a moment, this is what a Beinoni does. He does good things. Their job is to conquer the powers of evil. The hero and the thought of olam alev lemoach that came from the heart to the mind, ulasiach da'atu legamrim imenu, and to completely distract one's mind from these thoughts, v'litchoso b'shtei yadayim, and to push it away with both hands, uvachol d'chiyo d'chiyah, and every time we push it away, shematcheu mimachshavto, when I push it from my thought, iskafya sitra achra, I am literally breaking the forces of evil lasata below. Ubis arusa de lasata, when I do something below, it aruta de la'ela, that causes a corresponding reality above in heaven. So if I break the urge for evil below, iskafya sitracha de la'ela, it breaks the urge for evil which is above. Hamakbia Atzma Kanesher, which is rising like an eagle. L'kayim Ashenem, I'm fulfilling the verse. Im Tagbia Kanesher, even if you rise like an eagle, Mishamo Ritchanu Mashem, from there I will lower you, says God. The Zohar says in Parshas Truma, "B'godol nachasruach l'fanav yisbarach." How much pleasure it causes God. When the forces of evil below are broken, that increases the glory of God above over all. Yatir mishvach achra, more than any greater praise. This distancing is greater than everything. Says the Tanya here, and he'll explain it further in chapter 28 as well. The mystical view of the world is that there is good and there is evil. You know, just to get political for a second, I find it very troubling that the current administration in the White House seems to not want to use the language of good and evil. Talk about violent extremism instead of Islamic terrorists. Instead of saying these are bad people that have to be defeated, they say, well, you know, it's because there's lack of opportunity. We need to have like a jobs program for Africa. Then miraculously, they'll all love us. There's a lack of awareness. There's good and there's evil. But in Judaism, we believe very strongly that there's right and there's wrong. There's good and there's evil. So, within a person too, there's good and there's evil. There's the good of the person to be an angel, to give charity, to welcome others, to learn Torah. That's the angel. And there's evil to be an animal, to be lowly, to be arrogant, to be angry. All of that is evil. The evil in me is a little piece of the evil that's in heaven. In heaven, there are angels that are good, and there are angels that are the angels of evil. So what happens? A thought hits me. That thought is not coming from the best places. It's coming from lowliness. So that's a thought from the angel of evil. Now I have a choice. I could keep dwelling on that thought, or I could distract myself from the thought. When I pull myself away from the thought, the angel of evil is trying to get me, and I'm pulling away from him. So in heaven, God goes to the angel of evil. He says, you know, down on earth, Zev Reichman pulled away from your little emissary, so I'm going to pull away from you. On earth, Zev Reichman defeated your emissary because your emissary was trying to get him to dwell on something. He didn't succeed. Now I'm going to make you defeated. So think about the amazing joy we should have. Right? We are all right now so upset about what's going on in Iran. They are the evil of the world. The evil of the world are people that just want to kill Jews because we're Jews. I don't know if anyone's seen this YouTube clip, but I really recommend it. It's by a guy called Andrew Klavan. It's called Andrew Klavan on the Culture. So he has a 3-minute YouTube clip. It's just fantastic. And he says, well, President Obama wants Israel to return to the 1967 lines. And then a map shows up, and you see a big chunk of Israel get cut out, and then a little chunk on the side also get cut out, in return for being annihilated. And if that's not a good enough deal, think about what happened in 2005, where Israel gave away Gaza in return for getting rockets all over the rest of the country. So, for some strange reason, Prime Minister Netanyahu didn't want to follow that deal, because after all, it wasn't so enticing to give away half the land of Israel to the people who want to wipe out Israel if it's the last thing they do. So, you know, he then is very funny. He said, I have the solution to the problem. The solution is not the two-state solution, it's the one-state solution. give the entire Middle East to the Jews. If you give the whole Middle East to the Jews, then the Christians won't be persecuted. There'll be freedom of religion all over. Women will have civil rights. You know, Muslims will have a better life than they'll have under Arab countries. There'll be more democracy. There'll be more freedom of speech. There'll be more freedom of the press. And that'll be the Arab Spring. The Arab Spring should be to give the Middle East to the Jews. That's the theme. So we look today at Iran, and we see the Iranians, lo aleinu, they want, like Haman, lashmid laharog ulabeit, to kill every single Jew. That's what they want to do. They're the ones who sponsor the terrorism in Argentina. They're the ones who are giving rockets in the north and in the south and all over. They're the ones who want to kill Jews all over. All over they want to kill Jews, not only in Israel. They want to kill all the Jews. That's why they deny the Holocaust, because they want to do another Holocaust. That's who they are. And they are getting close, chas v'shalom, maybe to having nuclear weapons capabilities. That's very, very upsetting. So Iran is an emissary of the forces of evil in heaven. So here a little thought comes into my head, which isn't a holy thought. And I say, God, thank you. Thank you for putting that thought there. Because now that you put that thought there, I can move my mind away. I'll open up a Gemara. I'll open up a Chumash. I'll open up a Torah magazine. I'm going to open the Psalms. I'll read Psalms. I'm going to distract myself. When I distract myself from this evil thought, one of the emissaries of the force of evil just was broken. So you know what happens in heaven? The angel of Iran gets thrown out. And so maybe a whole nuclear facility will get a virus, and all the centrifuges will spin out of control, and 30% of the centrifuges will be ruined because I had this thought hitting me and I ran away from it. So shouldn't, when the thought hits me, it create a great joy? Wow, what an opportunity. Because if I dwell in it, it's going to be disastrous. So here I have a chance to run away from it. When I run away from it, I'm causing in heaven an amazing gift. The Zohar says there's nothing that makes God happier. You can, you know, compose a new Psalms. Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, he wrote a new version of Tehillim. He wrote another 150 poems. Tehillim Chadash, new Tehillim. You can compose a new Psalms. And as much as God would be happy with that, write a whole new prayer book of praises to God, God is even happier when a thought hits me and I run away from the thought. Because that shows that I'm really, really loyal to God. The thought hit me and I ran away from it. He said, wow, he's loyal to me. He's not following his urges. He's giving me honor. He's listening to me. That's more in God's eyes than composing a whole new set of praises. So this should give us great joy. The thoughts hit us. We're not angels. Of course they're going to hit us. It's great that they hit us. Now that they hit us, we can run away from them. And when we run away from them, we're defeating Iran. When we run away from them, we're giving God glory. So we have to be very optimistic and very happy and very joyous, especially that we have these challenges. Yeah, question.
Yes. You spoke of evil angels, but how can there be such a thing? An angel, by definition, is just a function that God happens to be.
Yeah, God wants this behavior as a test. It's a challenge for us. It's called Sitra Achra, the other side. But the purpose of that angel is to challenge us. What he really wants us to do is to defeat him. When he comes, when the thoughts hit us, what they want really is they want us to defeat them. They want us to avoid them. Because when we avoid them and we distract ourselves, then they're really fulfilling their job. Getting defeated. That's what they really want. Exactly. Ulachain, therefore, says the Tanya. We're here on page 118. In the English, it's page 117 in the second column, therefore. Al yipol lev adam alav. No person should feel depressed. V'lo yera levav ma'od. His heart should not be very troubled. Even if his whole life is this way. B'molchamazu, with this struggle. Maybe he was created to struggle. And this is his service. La kafya l'sitra achra tamid, to constantly bend the forces of evil. Hatanya here teaches us an amazing idea. And just to add some explanations that I heard from Rabbi Silver, Hatanya says it could be that this is my mission. My mission is to constantly be struggling. I'm going to have a thought, and I'm going to have to pull away from it. It's not easy to pull away from it. But that's what I'm here for. That's why I was created. So let's understand. What do you mean, that's why I was created? The simple understanding is that if God could have given us all the pleasures in the world, but if he would give us all the pleasures in the world, right away put us in the Garden of Eden, and we would have done nothing to earn it, we would feel a great sense of shame. Feel embarrassed. I'm not accomplishing anything. There's no meaning here. So God gives us challenges, and he gives us freedom of choice, so that we won't have any shame. This is called Nahama de Kisufa, the bread of shame. I once heard from Rabbi Moshe Weinberger, he's quoting something that's in many sources. The Mishnah says in Tractate Orla that a tree that's recently planted, for the first 3 years, we're not allowed to eat the fruit. What happens if I have a tree and I take a branch of the tree and I push it under the ground so that a shoot of it will grow up? Is that shoot considered the tree, or is it its own tree? So the Mishnah says it depends on the leaves. If the leaves of this shoot are facing forward to the leaves of the main tree, that means that this shoot is independent. Because when you're independent, you're fine looking at the person who's in front of you. But if this branch is really part of the main tree, the leaves are all going to turn away from the tree. Because if they're really getting their nourishment from the main trunk, they're embarrassed to look at the one that they're getting their nourishment from. When a person is getting a free gift, Eric, there's a chair right there next to Brian. When a person's getting a free gift, a person's embarrassed to look at the one who's giving him the gift. If God would give us heavenly rewards, great pleasures, and we wouldn't earn it, we would be embarrassed. And we wouldn't be able to really enjoy. But that still doesn't explain why we have such deep challenges. Okay, so God could give us a hard job. You know, he could tell us, go to the forests and cut down wood in the middle of the winter. It's hard. And work, you know, huge amounts of exercise and physical strain. But the nature of the challenge that makes us earn things is not just that it's hard. There's choice. We're pulled in one way. And the challenge is, do we have the strength to pull away and pull in the opposite direction and go against the urge? Why is that the challenge? So to go deeper, Ramchal teaches us that the greatest good is to enjoy God himself. That's the greatest good. The greatest pleasure is to enjoy God. In the famous Medrash, the Medrash says that when King Solomon was anointed, the prophet tells us that God offered King Solomon whatever he wants, he could ask for. And King Solomon asked to be wise. And God said that was a good thing to ask for, because wisdom is my child. When you have my child, you have me. When you have wisdom, you have everything. There are certain things that are everything. To have a connection with God, that's everything. And how can we have a connection with God? We have a connection with God when we are godly, when we are like God. In Judaism, those two items that resemble each other are connected to each other. As we've mentioned, the word ahava, love, in gematria value is the same as the word echad, one. And Maharal teaches love is between those who have a sense of identity, a sense of unity, a sense of oneness, a sense of associate, that they associate with each other. There's a resemblance between the two. That's what creates love. That's what creates a bond. To have a connection with God, to be bonded with God, to be one with God, we have to resemble God. We have to be like God. The first thing we can say about God is that he's the creator. Out of nothing, he made a world. So when an urge hits me, and a thought hits me, and a picture hits me, and I say, no, I'm pulling away. I'm opening up a Talmud now, I'm opening up a Mishnah now, I'm opening up a Tanya now, I'm opening up a Psalms now, I'm opening up a prayer book now, I'm pulling away. Then I'm making myself. I'm creating myself. I'm forming who I am. I become a creator like God. And when I become a creator like God, I bond with Him and I connect to Him in a very deep way. Maybe that's my mission. A person might have, that's his mission. His mission is to keep creating himself, to keep having an urge and pulling away from the urge. And that gives God such pleasure. Look at what this person is making. There is a certain pleasure in the creative genius. I think they said that when Michelangelo finished one of his statues, his sculptures, he was so excited he wanted to break the whole thing. There's a certain pleasure. There's a sense of, wow, what have I created? God wants us to create something, to make an amazing sculpture. That's our personality. And maybe that's our mission, that every second we're hit with another challenge and another challenge and another challenge, and we keep making ourselves. So we're going to be upset that God's giving us these gifts, these chances to make ourselves. We should be happy, so thankful. I can make myself and make myself and make myself again. So continuing in the Tanya, that's why Job said, Barasa Rishayim, you created wicked people. I mean, God makes people wicked. No. Lo shiyu rishayim be'emes chas v'shalom. Not God made some people wicked. Ela shiyagi aleim kemasei rishayim b'machshavtem v'yirhurim levad. There's some people that God has made it that what happens to the wicked is always hitting them. They're always having thoughts. V'hem yunulchamim tamid. And their mission is to fight with it. La'asiach da'atam mehem. To distract themselves from those thoughts. G'day la'akafi l'sitra achra. To bend down the forces of evil. And this person will never be able to fully rid himself of such thoughts. He said, tzaddikim. That's the righteous, the tzaddikim. They have those thoughts gone. But you should know, there are two ways to give God great pleasure. The tzaddikim would turn the evil into positives, where they're not even drawn to evil, they're only drawn to holiness. God loves that. It's one way thing God loves. Vashenis, but the second thing God loves, Kadis Kafya Sitra Achra, when there's a strong urge for evil. Ba'udah B'takfa, it's so powerful, Gvurasan, it's mighty. Umagvi Atma Kinesher, it's rising like an eagle. Umisham Morida Hashem, but God lowered it from its heights. This Orusa de la Sata, because down below people woke up and they ran away from evil thoughts. Ayadeya Benonim, through people who are in the middle. Zeshamra Kasav, that's why Yitzchak, when he asked Esav to bring him delights, he said, Aseli matamim kashera hafti. Make for me delicious things the way I love them. Matamim lashon rabim. Multiple desserts. Shnei minei nachas ruach. Two types of giving God great pleasure. U'maimer ha-shechina lebanei ha-klalos Yisrael. This is what the Shechina tells the Jewish people. Kedepir shebetikunim, as the Zohar explains. Two types of delights. K'mosh matanim gashmim derech mashli yishnei minei ma'adanim. Echem ima'achol ma'revim m'sukim. V'hasheni midvarim charif mol chamutzim. There are two types of delights. You can have sweet cakes and candies, or you can have sharp items. Shem etuval mutzukanim hetev, but they're so spiced in such a nice way. Chenasu ma'adanim l'ashva nefesh. They also restore a person. V'zesh amar akasav. That's what the verse says. Kol pol Hashem l'maneu. Whatever God did was for His sake. The gam rasha liyom ra. The wicked person also. For the day of evil, Pirush, the wicked person was created, Sheyashav Merisho, that he should pull away from his wickedness, Yasa Arashalo Yom, and he'll turn that day of evil into light, V'or Lamala, Kadiskafya Sitra Achra, when he bends the force of evil, V'estalak Yakud HaKutshabrichu Le'ela, and he causes the glory of God to rise above. So the Tanya is teaching us in this amazing, amazing chapter that we should always be great optimists, especially when we get to Purim. Purim is the time when Haman, who was one of the great representatives of the forces of evil in heaven. Havan was overturned, the same term, v'nahapochu. It was overturned. And it's amazing, you know, the very things that Haman thought to do, what he was trying to do, the exact opposite happened. You know, there is a subtext to the story of Purim. The story of Purim is really about the Second Temple. According to the Talmud, we had begun the process of rebuilding the Second Temple. And Haman was the one who stopped it. And Haman wanted to stop it for good by wiping out the Jewish people, that there shouldn't be the possibility of a Second Temple. So Haman tells Achashverosh, give me the right to wipe out the Jews, I'll give you 10,000 loaves of silver. Achashverosh says, I don't need it, you keep the loaves of silver. Asks Hashem Yishmuel, why does the Megillah tell us this? Why do we need to know that Achashverosh told Haman to keep his silver? Answered Hashem Yishmuel, because later the Megillah will tell us that Achashverosh took all that Haman had, that Beit Haman, Natati Le'Esther, all the wealth of Haman, Achashverosh gives to Esther and Mordechai. Mordechai is given Haman's palace. And the Medrash says Mordechai didn't want to use Haman's wealth, so he used it to build the Second Temple. The donations to build the Second Temple came from Haman's wealth. Now, had Haman given the 10,000 loaves of silver to Achashverosh, they never would have been used to build the Second Temple. But the underlying context here is, here's Haman. Here's a man who was wicked. He wanted to wipe out all the Jews. V'nahafochu, we defeated him. We defeated the evil urges within us. And we defeated him. To defeat him, we had to have 3 days where the Jews were fasting and crying and praying. We defeated the evil urge within us. When we defeated the evil urge within us, we defeated him. And when he fell, what he was trying to stop, he was trying to stop the building of the temple, his money was used to build the temple. We're all given challenges. Evil urges hit us, temptations hit us. When we pull away, when we defeat those temptations, we pull good things from those very temptations, and the very opposite of what they wanted to do, that's what we're going to accomplish. The verse says, Rabot nachshavot b'lev ish. There are many thoughts in the heart of man. Atzat Hashem itakum. But the counsel of God is what will last. So the simple reading is there are many thoughts, but whatever God wants is what's going to be. The Shem Yishmuel says differently. Rabot nachshavot b'lev ish. Man has so many thoughts and plans. Atzas Hashem, but the counsel of God is so powerful, he tukum, it rises from those thoughts. From the very thoughts, that's where God's plan comes out. Haman's thought was to stop the Second Temple forever. His attempt to stop the Second Temple forever is what built the temple. That's what built the temple, because we defeated it. When we get hit with challenges, with all sorts of things to make us feel down, to make us feel depressed, we should pull away. We pull away, we're pulling down all the forces of evil. And we're pulling out of the forces of evil the good point. And with that good point, we can actually accomplish the very thing that those forces of evil try to stop us from accomplishing. Thank you.